Beseder, here we are, Baruch Hashem.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining. Those of us joining online, see Esther's here. Everybody's encouraged to subscribe and enable notifications so you know when we go live. Today we are going to learn about the world to come and whether we deserve it or not. Everybody thinks so. Good person. I work hard. I toiled. I sacrificed. Of course I deserve my portion in the world to come. Of course I'm going to heaven, right? Well, maybe we're not as close to heaven as we think. Maybe we're a little far from heaven. So last week's episode, which was Far From Heaven, part one, talked about the fact that just mitzvahs themselves, just being righteous, or following God's instructions in and of itself does not earn you a piece of heaven. So why would the Torah talk about it? Because the Torah doesn't obligate you to transcend self, but it's only through total transcendence of self that we're able to earn, if you will, a piece of heaven. Now, we didn't really fully explain that. Like, so why doesn't the Torah talk about it? And I told you, like, we have to get to part two. So once we finish part two, at least the second part of part two, or this idea of being far from heaven and far from reward, I think we'll have a little bit of a proper understanding as to why the scripture, the Torah, the Hebrew scriptures do not talk about heaven, do not talk about paradise, do not talk about the world to come, or Gan Eden. None of this is mentioned. I mean, there's a Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, but it has nothing to do with the place that souls go to after they finish their terrestrial lifetime. So if you're following along in the Kihat edition, we're on page 189. And in the Kihat edition, in the annotation, we have, having explained that in truth a person does not receive reward as a result of his good deeds alone, we can now understand why the Torah does not mention the reward in the world to come, because the Torah only mentions rewards that a person deserves, not those that are kindnesses from God. That's where we're going to be going today. That's on page 189. But we're going to pick it up now, the narrative where we left off, on page 188. Okay, it goes like this. V'hasheni. The second part, as to why we don't talk about heaven in the scripture. And eventually this will lead us into understanding betachon and a whole lot of things, but patience. V'hasheni. The second detail or second factor is that you have to know that heaven is chesed me Elohim. It is a kindness from God. It's a nedava. It's generous offering. It's a tova. It's an act of goodness or a favor. K'maisha kasov, as it is written, and here Rabbeinu Bechaya cites Psalm 62, verse 13, David HaMelech concludes the 62nd Psalm by saying, "Ulecha ad Hashem chesed, to you God is kindness. Why is to you God kindness? Ki ata teshalem le'ish kemaseyu. Because you remunerate each person in accordance with what he did." Now there's an obvious discrepancy here in the verse. It says, "Ulecha ad Hashem chesed." God is kind. Why is he kind? Well, he's kind because he remunerates in accordance with a person's actions. That's not kind, that's just. That's just right. But David HaMelech doesn't say it's right. He doesn't say, Ulecha Hashem tzedek, Hashem is righteous. He says, Ulecha Hashem chosed, Hashem is giving kindness. The truth is that there are multiple answers to this question. The Talmud itself asks a question. The Talmud offers some simple answers. But here, Rabbeinu Bechaya uses this particular verse to explain to us that in truth, we are not deserving of heaven. Doesn't say we're not getting heaven. Not because we deserve it. But rather, Ulecha Hashem chosed. Let's take a look at the Mefarshim and try to understand this. This is a little bit shocking for people to hear the first time, especially if they're raised in a Western environment. that tells them that they're going to go to heaven. Because that's what other faith systems are saying. In the West and in the East, the scriptures are full of descriptions of heaven. And people do all kinds of twisted and insane things because somebody told them that that's a way to go to heaven. There were, tragically, tens of thousands of Iranian children, adolescents, who went to their death being gassed by their counterparts, their Iraqi counterparts. And they went willingly with a key in their pocket. And the key said, made on Taiwan on one side. On the other side in Arabic, it said, key to heaven. And they actually believed that if they died on the battlefield for the mullahs, that they would go to heaven. And then it gets much worse. It's downhill from there. And a lot of people think, heaven, 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 it's all about heaven. Be good because you will go to heaven. And if you be bad, you don't go to heaven. And the assumption in most people's minds is that we deserve to go to heaven if we behave nicely. If we follow the rules, we deserve to go to heaven. Ben Chaim's statement sounds like it's like he shatters the whole myth. He says, no, 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 that's not actually the case. Heaven is God's kindness. Heaven is not something that you earned. So let's take a look. Neder B'Kodesh. Let me read to you how he comments on this. He says, let's be very straightforward here. Rotza Loimar. What Rabbeinu B'Chaya means to say. Hadavar Hasheni. This is factor two. Factor one, we talked about. You have to be doing for others, transcending self. Ein Olam Haba Ra'ui La'odam. A person is not deserving of the paradise, the afterlife of the world to come. Ella, rather, mitzad chesed me'elikim. It is a kindness of God, the lo badin, not by the rule of law. It is not by the rule of law. It is not actually earned or deserved. That a person is yatil scharo, that a person is remunerated mitzad masav. So what does that mean? He says it's only mitzad hanedava. It's God being generous. It's a tova. It's a favor, me'elikim. The toiv halavonon further elaborates. Chesed me'elikim, he says. What does that mean, a chesed from God? He says, quote, l'shalem sachar tov l'tzadik. To remunerate, to recompense the righteous mitzad ma'isav ba'atzmoy, af b'li sheyora avodas habora v'yochiach la'achedim, that we speak here of a person receiving heaven or deserving heaven, even if he doesn't reach out to others. So this is interesting because the Neder B'Kodesh made a blanket statement. He said, heaven is not earned. Heaven is a gift. The Teva Levonon seems to understand Rabbeinu B'Chaya as like two segments here. Number one, you don't deserve heaven unless you reach out to others and do for others. It's not just about you. But he says, nonetheless, a person who doesn't reach out and make others meritorious, as we learned about in the previous episode, but instead that person who is only observant and religious and pious themselves, he could still go to heaven. But it's not bedin. It's not because he or she deserves it, but rather it's because Hashem chooses to be kind and generous and he gifts it to them. And the Toiv HaLevonon takes us in a very interesting direction. He says the truth is that living a spiritually edifying life for oneself, and oneself only, that means studying lots of Torah and having a profound understanding of God's wisdom, performing mitzvahs in a very meticulous way, being concerned about the way you perform mitzvahs, is not actually what Judaism expects of us. Because he says, we are told, Kol Yisrael arevim zeh bazeh, all of the Jewish people are responsible for one another. So if there's a woman out there who didn't light Shabbat candles, none of us lit Shabbat candles. If there's a man out there who didn't put on tefillin today, none of us really put on tefillin. Because there's the nation that has to, in its entirety, do the mitzvah. And every single individual that's missing is our problem. That is our issue. So he says, the truth is that if a person doesn't live with that kind of sense of responsibility. He doesn't care about others, doesn't care about the Yiddishkeit for other people. That is an inherent deficiency and problem. Why should that person go to heaven? By the way, the vast majority of very religious people are not very concerned with other people. They worry about their slice of heaven. And the Teva Levanan says, Rabbeinu Bachai is telling us that for the vast majority of people who may not devote and dedicate themselves to the welfare of others' spirituality, but rather focus on their own spiritual edification, they'll still go to heaven. Not because they earned it, not because they deserved it, but rather because it's a gift from God. This is the Teva Levanan's perspective, but I have to tell you that the Neder B'Kodesh definitely does not subscribe to that. And many of the other commentaries, like the Paslechem and the Marpeh Lenefesh, say clearly that this concept of not deserving heaven is universal. Whether you reached out to others or didn't reach out to others, the truth is that nobody really deserves heaven.
You have a question. Same kindness that allows us to wake up in the morning.
There's a connection between that kindness. There's a connection. But we're going to explain. This is like a little bit shocking for a lot of people to hear. So, yeah. If you're shocked, that's a good thing. It means you're listening and learning. Please stay. Please stay on. We will make sense out of this. And I'm going to show you that what Rabbeinu Bachaya says here is not, he's not that creative or original. He's certainly not the solitary voice saying this. There are many, many sources for this concept. But of course, we have to understand it. Rabbeinu Bachaya is going to give us a seemingly simplistic explanation for this, and then we're going to plumb deeper and even deeper. Now, this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu paying or giving us reward, even though we don't necessarily deserve it, ultimately, says the Marpeh Lenefesh, is precisely why the scripture won't talk about it. Because the scripture is not here to tell you about God's beneficence. The scripture is here to tell you about your responsibility and what Hashem owes you for what you did. So that's the contractual agreement. And the Torah, in its contractual agreement, has to tell you what Hashem expects of you and what you should expect of Him. But you can't expect heaven. You will get heaven. And that will feed into how we view the concept of heaven and having that surety and betochen and not being anxious about, am I going to heaven or not? We're going to talk about that. That's why we're going through these preambles. But this betochen preamble is emphasizing that the Torah won't speak about the concept of heaven, because the Torah is only going to speak about the things that we necessarily are actually earning or deserving by the letter of the law. It's almost, as the Marpeh Lenefesh says it, as if it would be illogical for the Torah to describe a reward that is not earned, but rather granted as a favor from Hashem. As the Marpeh Lenefesh says, Ma shenoten Hashem yizbarach gemul olam haba, the fact that Hashem does reward us and give us a slice of eternity or heaven, hu al yedei derech hachesed v'nedava. It's a gift. It's a kindness. It's a generosity. And because of this, he says, there's no logic to explain or speak about it in the Torah, because the Torah doesn't want to go into this. The Torah doesn't want to tell you, heaven, well, it kind of goes like this. You will go to heaven, but not because you deserved going to heaven. That defeats its purpose. The Torah wants to tell you what you have to do. And what will result from you doing what you do. And even if we are to understand the Yehudim Gashmim, the material promises in the Torah of goodness and plenty, and tranquility and peace, even if we are to understand that as not a reward, but rather an enabler, allowing us, as Rambam, as Maimonides explains, allowing us to be able to continue to serve Hashem and do mitzvahs, that's really why Hashem created you. So he tells you, here, I created you. I gave you the gift of life. Here's what I expect of you. Not because Hashem is now bound, duty-bound, or legally obligated to give us that slice of heaven. And that's why the Marpeh Lenefesh says, ultimately, this is the Chavis HaLevavos' explanation as to why it isn't talked about in the scripture itself. So before we go into the deeper reasoning, I just want to like share with you a number of different sources which will make you realize that the concept of going to heaven, not by virtue of what we have earned, but rather by virtue of Hashem's kindness, is a well-documented Torah idea. And before I do that, I do want to take a moment to look at the precise verbiage that Rabbeinu Bachaya uses, because the Pat Lechem has a phenomenal way of going into the details. He says, okay, let's go. Why does he use word one, word two, word three? They sound redundant, but of course they aren't. So the Chavis HaLevavos uses these words. Chesed me'elokim, kindness. He says nedava. Nedava means a generous gift. And he says tova. Tova in the vernacular usually means a favor. Like do me a tova, do me a favor. So he explains the following. Chesed refers to the action. So God giving it. God giving it, that's a chesed. That's a chesed. Like, for example, in the Yiddish vernacular, if you give somebody a loan, it's called giving somebody a gemilas chesed. You're giving him a kindness. Because usually people charge interest for loans. We're not allowed to charge interest, so why should I give you my money if I could invest it and make more money? Because I'm doing you a kindness. Called gemilas chesed. He says, Nedava translates as a generous benefaction. And he says, this refers to the intent. Not the action, but the spirit that fuels it. And he says, Tova, this is the catalyst, the cause. So because, for example, a person is good, their goodness, their innate goodness, propels them to be generous. And because they are now generous, that's why they're giving the chesed. So there's the cause, the catalyst. Then there's the emotional kind of engagement or involvement. And then there's the action. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this kindness for us, behaving generously towards us, because God is good. Because Hashem is good. So where do we find even something like this? A few sources, a few interesting sources, which I hope are going to clarify and explain, help you appreciate. There is a teaching from the yeshiva of Eliyahu HaNavi. This is found in the Seder Eliyahu Zuta. There's Eliyahu Rabba and Eliyahu Zuta, the major Eliyahu teachings and the minor Eliyahu teachings. So in the Eliyahu Zuta, in the sixth chapter, subsection 3, it says the following. Over there, we hear about Moshe Rabbeinu, who is pleading the case of the Jewish people. And he asks Hashem, Hodieinino et drachecha. Show me your ways. Show me your way. And the Talmud talks about this. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? Show me your way. It's all Hashem's way. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, he wants to know. And the Eliyahu Zuta says clearly, Hashem says, you want to know, mipnei ma yesh tzaddik v'tovle, why is there a tzaddik who prospers? And then there's a tzaddik who suffers, v'dala. There's a tzaddik, a rasha, a wicked, evil person, v'tovle, and he prospers. And there's a rasha, a wicked person, and he has a miserable life. He's consumed by his own evil. So, Omar loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. God says to Moses, Ein ata yochol la'amod al kol midotai. You will never understand why God does what God does. It's not possible for a person to understand this. Hareini modiacha miktsas midotai. I'm going to tell you something about me. Something about how I relate. Which ultimately means what I do. Something. The Eliyahu Zuta says, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, God told Moses, Kishani roa b'nei adam, when I see people. Afal pi she'em bohem, tehilu v'shevech, shal Torah, ma'asim tovim. There's nothing to write home about, nothing to speak of, nothing to praise them for. They don't have Torah knowledge, they don't have good deeds. Not them, not their ancestors. Ela. Rach b'shvil she'em omdim, umodim, umuvarchim, umishabchim. But they stop what they're doing. And they take the time to acknowledge and to bless and to praise and they plead before Hashem, in that case, ani nizkak lahem, I respond to them. V'kofa lahem ezonaseim, I give them a double kind of sustenance. I sustain them in a double portion. So what does that mean? Why? Why is it that a person is getting this goodness? Because he asked Hashem for it. But is he getting the goodness because he deserved it? It doesn't say that. In simpler words, if somebody's undeserving, can he or she pray for goodness if they don't necessarily deserve it? It's an interesting question. Can you pray for goodness if you don't deserve it? Can you? De Leo Zutta says yes.
Depends whose eyes you're looking through, because through our eyes we think there's goodness, but Hashem is looking at what we do very differently. He sees our intent. He knows.
And most people, when they want to be honest with themselves, they know they're not so deserving.
Right.
A lot of people know they're not so deserving. So, of course, present company accepted. You're all big tzaddikim around this table. I'm not sure what's out there in the internet, because I can't see anybody over there. Except a few people who make little comments. But, you know, present company accepted. A lot of people who come and pray and daven are not necessarily deserving or necessarily not deserving. Mm. And they pray. Are they wasting their time? Should they be praying? If you don't deserve, should you make the request, should you make the ask? Hashem tells Moses, yes, you should. And he says, I will respond to people who pray. Why? Is the merit of prayer able to outweigh the lack of merit elsewhere? It doesn't say that. It doesn't say it's because of the merit of prayer. Hashem says, I respond to that.
But prayer, at least it's a dialogue. You're making an effort.
Yeah, so, but you don't deserve it. We're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to this business of that prayer. We'll see. We'll see where this goes. So let me tell you something very interesting. The Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the senior Bali HaTosfos, in what is called the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, the Smak, also known as Amud HaGola. So the Smak says like this, in Mitzvah 11 of the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan is the Mitzvah of prayer. The Smak, Rabbeinu Peretz, holds like the Rambam, that is a mitzvah, a biblical mitzvah, to pray on a daily basis. And then he says, "Uchishayit palel," when you do pray, "im yivakesh davar," if you ask for something, "al yitzape," don't have expectation. Don't have expectation to say, "machmat tfilati yavili hakadosh baruch hu sheilati." You know why I'm going to have my prayer answered? Because I prayed. That's because of that virtue. Because I thought about Hashem. He says, because if you say that, Zeh min hadvarim she'amru chachamim, this is from the things that our sages mention in the Gemara Masechet Brachot on page 55, she'maskirun avonotav shel adam, when a person comes with his own merits, he also brings upon himself a red flag and they start looking at his demerits. Don't make the suggestions that you deserve. Ella, yachshov, shakadosh baruch hu yivienu bechasto. Think that God is benevolent, that God is kind. We're appealing to God's kindness. We're appealing to God's generosity. Umash ani mevakesh mimenu. And that's what they ask of him. Is Lahazkir elibe kama ani meshubet. So I remind myself how much I owe God. How much I owe God? Because God doesn't need any of this. And there is nobody else who can actually give me what I need. So why am I asking God for what I need? Because I did mitzvahs? Because I'm meritorious? Or because God is kind? He says very clearly. The Smak says when you have this mitzvah, and incidentally, this halacha from the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan is brought down in the Torah and in the Shulchan Aruch.
The Torah in the end of Simen Tzadik Ches, chapter 98 of Erech Chaim, says, when a person prays, he shouldn't al yachshav ro'oy hu sheyasa kodesh baruch hu es bakashati. He shouldn't think, I'm deserving. I did a lot of good things. Because on the contrary, this is mazkir avonotav. This just flags you and brings to the surface the things you fall short on. Rather, yachshov sheyasa kodesh baruch hu bakashato bechasto. Hashem should do your request in his kindness. And he adds the words, ki yoma belibo, a person should say in his heart, me, ani, dalva, nivza, who am I? Impoverished, a repugnant little fellow. Who am I? Bolavakash, meis, melch, malchi, amlochim. I'm coming to make demands of God. Imlo merov chasodov. It's rather out of God's great abundance of kindness that Hashem provides for his creation. This is a Torah perspective. God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us anything. God gave us everything. So when we daven, we shouldn't daven saying, oh, God owes me now. In the big Shulchan Aruch of Rabbi Yosef Karo, on, again, the end of chapter 98 of Orach Chaim, he says very clearly that a person should not ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he feels that he is deserving. Roi Hu, it's appropriate. God kind of owes it to him. On the contrary, this causes a person's sins to be looked at a little more carefully. And Rama adds the words, you get the accountants to start reviewing all the details. Nobody wants to bring the CRA on themselves, or in the United States, the IRS. You're not looking for that. So be careful about the kind of tax receipts you're looking for. Nobody wants to flag their account. Yachshav she'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu bakashasi b'chastai. And he uses the words of the Torah. Mi ani dalva nivza. And he says, I ask from the King of Kings, ki im lo mirov chasodov shu misnaig behemim briyosov. Alter Rebbe adds a very interesting word over here in Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch at the end of chapter 98. He adds the word lihiyot batuachu bizchuyotov. Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure God owes you. Because God has done many kindnesses for us. And if it becomes, I guess, in the vernacular of these days, if you look for proportionality, it might not work. So this is a general concept in Judaism that we see. We're talking now, by the way, when a person prays, very few people pray for their peace of heaven. What are they praying for? For their needs, peace of life. They want the health. Nachas from the children, the nachas the family. They should have parnasa, they should have. That's what people pray for. And even in the material realm, we're hearing clearly. Here you see a tonet ve'elio, and this filters straight down into the smakin and the Shulchan Aruch. That when we pray, we shouldn't come with that kind of expectation. So if it doesn't even work for material reward, where a person should assume that he or she is deserving, can anybody really think that they deserve eternity? So what Rabbeinu Bechaya says doesn't seem so radical after all. Now consider this. Rabbeinu Yitzchak Armea, the Baal HaAkedah, Parshas Lech Lecha. In the middle of, or near the end, I should say, of chapter 17. He says like this. He goes through a whole list of how Avraham Avinu has a dialogue with Hashem. Avraham Avinu says, what will you give me? How do I know? After the whole covenant between the parts. And the Baal HaAkedah says this. Our sages told us, when you give a gift, you should let somebody know. Hanoten matana lezulato, you give a gift to somebody, tzarech lehodia, you should tell them. Kadei sheyachzik lotova, so there'll be reciprocity. Reciprocity is a good thing. It's what we call in Yiddish menschlichkeit. Just common decency. And he says, this is exactly what Hashem does for us. When Hashem says that he is mit'aveh l'tfilatan shel tzadikim, Hashem craves the prayers of the righteous, the tefillah of the righteous. It's a Gemara Masechet Yevamot. Why? Kedei sheyakiru v'yedu ma shemitchased imahem. Because Hashem wants us to appreciate what we have. If we have it, we take it for granted. And then we even build a sense of entitlement. If we don't have it, we realize it's a gift. Hashem wants us to be mindful of the fact of what he's doing for us. Lo yachshavu, a person shouldn't think, shehadvorim magiyim mipa'at hamazal. It's my good luck. I'm lucky. There's no such thing as luck, because luck indicates randomness. But belief in Hashem and the concept of divine design and randomness, they don't square. Or a person can make a bigger mistake. He thinks, hishtadlut, I worked hard. I earned it. Or, I deserve it. I deserve this. Midin zuchutam, because they have a zuchut, they have a merit. Because he says, even though it looks like everything might come to a person by virtue of luck or hard work, or sometimes even merit, Roy lahodot lo yisbarach, it would be wise of us to be grateful, to live with an attitude of continuous and constant gratitude. Ki hakol ba mi'ito b'torat matana. It all comes as a gift. Who says I exist? Who says I deserve life? Who says? Says who? What did any of us really do to deserve that? And the Baal HaKedah uses a beautiful metaphor. He says, imagine that a person was hired by the king to work in the field. And then he comes to the king and he delivers the produce, the harvest. And he says, where's my portion? He said, what's your portion? He said, no, I worked hard on this. And the king says, you're my employment. It's not yours. Hashem gave us everything for free, so to speak. Hashem gives us a whole life. And here the Akedah says, and this is the meaning of what the sweet singer of Israel, David HaMelech, says, Olecha Hashem chosed ki atat shalom lishkemaseu. That Hashem, what Hashem does is an act of kindness. That Hashem gives each of us a sachar tov kemaaseyu. He says, Hashem makes it ki'ilu eino chayev l'chlaklum. The truth is, he's not obligated to us in any way, shape, or form. And the person who works for the king doesn't owe him anything. But Hashem is kind. But Hashem is benevolent. And interestingly, the Baal HaKedah doesn't even seem to be talking about heaven here. He just says in general. Incidentally, all the things I mentioned before are not about heaven. They're about earthly rewards. And it's not necessarily a given that we receive it. Rabbi Yosef Albo, the Baal HaIkarim, in the Sefer HaIkarim, in the fourth section, the Maimer Revi, in the 38th chapter, he elaborates on things more in the vein of what Rabbeinu Bechai is talking about. He is talking about heaven. And he says, he talks about reward and punishment, and we'll get to reward punishment next week. He says, a person does something which is evanescent and passing. In our ephemeral world, he did something. So for this, he deserves eternity. How could something ephemeral be as valuable as something eternal? But nothing we do is eternal. So if nothing we do is eternal, how could we think that we deserve eternity?
I thought a mitzvah is eternal.
Yeah.
A
mitzvah is eternal because Hashem makes it eternal. A mitzvah is meaningful because Hashem makes it meaningful. Not because our act is an act that's meaningful. Think of it this way. You fed a poor person. Okay. How long does he stay satiated for? He's hungry the next day. So what'd you give him? A day? Suppose you helped somebody and for a lifetime, and the lifetime's over. Is anything really eternal in this world? We are told by Hashem that He values our mitzvahs in an eternal way. That's because Hashem makes it meaningful. Incidentally, that's why a mitzvah is not a good deed. Because a good deed means something that I decided is good, or we all agree upon that it's good. But a mitzvah is something that comes from God. It's good because Hashem says it's good. It's because I do it as God's commandment that it becomes a meaningful thing. But we're going to talk about this. We're going to develop this thesis. I'm just showing you a little bit of some different sources. So the Ikarim says like this. By the schar, by the reward, we say shehu nitzchi. It's an eternal reward. Where do we say that? He says, well, Isaiah, Prophet Yeshayahu, famously says that la'olam yirshu aretz. Now, euphemistically, this pasuk is talking about heaven. It's not in the five books of Moses, but it's euphemistically talking about heaven. It could allude to heaven. And it says, la'olam, for eternity, they will inherit the land. And the Gemara says this is referring to Eretz Ha'Olyona, the heavenly land. And that's for eternity. So he says, Im hadin notein sheyizmani, if you want to look at it by virtue of the law, rhyme and reason logic. So how does something which is temporary give you a return which is nitzchi, which is eternal? He says, it is only al tzad ha-chesed. It's only out of God's kindness. And that, says the Ikarim, is exactly what the sweet singer David HaMelech meant when he said that Shtaim zu shamati ke'ez l'lekim. He's quoting the end of Psalm 62. U'lecho Hashem chosed ki'ata t'shalom l'ishkema sehu. That's the meaning of l'cho Hashem chosed ki'ata t'shalom. Kiloyimar, in other words, he says, what he means to say is that the concept of Hashem's kindness is that Hashem is giving chesed, yirmeiz al gvul hanafshi. That he's talking about the heavenly, the soul, the spiritual reward, which is forever. And it comes from Hashem al tzad chesed. A person cannot come to a God and say, I did a mitzvah, and that's of eternal reward to you. As he says, a person can't say that because mitzad sha'adam bilti roi, a person he can say to God, God could say back to him, im tzedakta matitan lo, and if you were kind, would you give me something? Does God need what you gave him? No. So if God doesn't need what you gave him, how could you come along and say, afim yu roi l'schar hoyo roi sheyia schar's money, if you are deserving of reward? He says, if you are deserving of reward. We didn't make the full calculation, he says, but if you are deserving of reward, you're deserving of the reward the way you gave. Just as your good deed was a temporary thing, you shouldn't get eternity for something which is temporary. And he says, that this is the chesed, the kindness of Hashem, which is the concept of eternal reward. So, do we earn heaven? Do we deserve heaven? Clearly, no.
So are we talking about the neshama going back to the source? Is that what
Let's say yes. Let's say yes. And let's say the neshama goes back to the source and the neshama benefits for eternity from the mitzvahs that it did during a small blip on the screen. Okay. So for the 70, 80, 100, 90, 120 years that it lived in this world.
Okay. So this isn't Mashiach consciousness.
This is
in beyond.
So that's an interesting question. Let's say that right now we don't seem to be talking about Mashiach. Right now we seem to be speaking about the reality of heaven as we speak about heaven. Now, I want to go back to the Shara B'Tochen, and I want to share with you the logic that the Shara B'Tochen offers, that the Rabbeinu B'Chaya offers, on a literal level, with how the Mefarshim explain it. And then I want to introduce you to the way the teachings of Chassidus view this. And you'll see, ultimately, how it illuminates everything we just learned. But let's first take this now on a literal level. Let's see if there's any questions over here. So Kevin says, if a person thinks they are getting more than they deserve, that causes gratitude. That could be. But in general, you should know that we're always getting more than we deserve, as we're going to hear soon. All right. So we'll continue now in the body of the Shara B'Tochen. We're going to go to the next paragraph, the Ha'ilah. So if you're following along in the Kihat book, we're on page 188. The last two paragraphs going on to page 189. V'ha'ilah bazeh. So an ilah is a very interesting word. Ilah usually means a cause. Sometimes ilah could be translated as a reason. More often, it's an underlying cause. What's the underlying cause? Why don't we deserve heaven? You know, you're hearing these shocking things. We don't deserve heaven. Of course we deserve heaven. We're such big tzaddikim. We're doing all these good things. How could we say we don't deserve heaven? He says, "Ki im hoya ma'ase ha'adam kechol hayom b'mispar." If a person were to do good, like there are grains of sand on the seashore, endless acts of goodness. Le'yia shakol b'toiva achas min ha'toivus haberi yisbarich olav ba'olam hazeh. So even if he were to do all of these things, it wouldn't be equal to one of the kindnesses that Hashem does with a person. All these good things you did doesn't equal even one of the kindnesses Hashem does with us. Kol shekeinim yilechet, if a person sins and rebels against Hashem. Ve'im yedakte kaboyrim ha'odom, if God were to be exacting, bitviot hoda'at ha'tova, and God were to say, okay, let's talk proportion. Proportional response here. What did I give you, and what have you given me? He says, "Yiu kol ma'isav nichichod v'nishka." I love these words because they're so hard to translate. What does it mean? All of his deeds will be nichichod v'nishka. So, in the Kiyat edition, he translates them in English as canceled and wiped out. Okay. I mean, you're talking about a calculation, so this is going to, we'll be in the minus, so to speak. But there may be other ways to translate this. So, when you look at the precise words, the word nishka, you look at the paslechem, says like this. Nichichad means that it is missing. That's how he translates it, missing. In some of the translations here, it says canceled out. Some of the cancellations, it says neutralized. It's missing. It doesn't add up, so to speak. Vinishka means, literally translates as sunken. I think here they translate it as erased. Some translate it as disappearing. The word nishka usually means when something is sunken. Like if something sinks in the sea. You look at the sea, all you see is ocean. Whatever was there, as large as it might have seemed, all of a sudden is gone. In other words, God's kindnesses to us are so much greater than what we have done for God, that if we were to take proportion and make a calculation of what Hashem does for us and what we do for Hashem, it would be eclipsed. There'd be nothing left. That's the reality. And this would be with the smallest of kindness that God does for us. And what Hashem gives us as reward is not something that we actually deserve. It's not proportionate to our actions. This is a pure act of divine kindness. The Paslechem uses an interesting term here. He says, if a person were to come in an exacting way, making a reckoning and accounting, b'tviya todah totova. He says, as if a person were to make demands of Hashem. Sheyizba mimenu. He says, okay, I have demands to make. And Hashem, you have demands? Let's take a look at demands here. Let's take a look. The Marpil HaNefesh explains the reasoning of if Hashem would make the calculation, and we would make the calculation based on what the Shalom writes. And he brings a mashal, a metaphor from the great Rabbi Yeshayahu Horowitz to the Shalom. He says like this. Shnei Luchas HaBris says, imagine, if you can, somebody who has severely damaged a leg or lost an eye. The leg is gone. It's gone. You know, the eye is gone. It's finished. Uba, Raifa Godel, some very big doctor comes along. And somehow, in his great wisdom and through technology and a whole host of other abilities, he's able to restore the leg that was lost. He grows you a new eye. He said, how would you respond to that person? Well, you'd love him forever. He gave you an eye. You'll never be able to repay him. Every people say, I can never repay you for what you did. People use that expression towards other people. I can never repay you for what you did. You saved my life. Who gave you life to begin with? You saved my eye. You saved my hand. You saved my finger. Who gave that to you? He says, no matter what that person would, kind of demands that person would make of you, if you're only decent, if you're only a mensch, you take it. I mean, I can't complain. This person saved my life. I wouldn't be here without him. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nosan Lecha Yodov, he gave you your hands. He gave you a ragl of your feet. He gave you all your 248 proverbial limbs. Hashem has been sustaining you. Hashem has been guarding you and watching you. He gave you a neshama, a soul, a piece of God that enables you to attain eternity. And so, who owes who again? He says, this is the meaning of what we say in the Nishmat prayer that was offered by Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach. Ilu finu mole shira, if our mouths were as wide as the ocean, we would never be able to praise Hashem enough. And he says, whatever we do is a fraction of what Hashem does for us. The Toiv HaLavonin puts it like this. Bitziruf kol ha-maisim tovim. You're a righteous person. You make sacrifices for God. You worked hard. Put it all together. He said, despite the fact you put all these good deeds together, it still doesn't equal eternity. So it comes to Hashem out of kindness. And therefore the Toiv HaLavonin says, that's why Lezochro HaNaviim V'HaTorah, it doesn't say in the words of the prophets, in the words of the Pentateuch, the Torah itself, in what's called Divrei HaBrit, in the covenant that Hashem gave us, it doesn't talk about Gmul HaOlam Haba. Why? Me'achar, because Shemin HaDin Ein Adam Kedai L'Gmul HaZeh. We are not deserving. What we do is not earning us a slice of heaven. Dai L'Gmul HaOlam HaZeh. You did good things in this world, you get rewarded in this world. What would happen if a person were to be given a choice? You can have a nice time in this world, but no eternity. Or you can have eternity, but it won't be so great for you in this world. Assuming that people really believed in eternity. Do you think anybody would choose the ephemeral passing moments of bliss and joy and give away eternity? No, but nobody would choose that.
Why is eternity our goal? Let's say
eternity isn't our goal.
Just curious.
Let's say it isn't our goal. But is it reasonable to say that God owes me? He owes me eternity. God owes me eternity. Yeah. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying. So if he's giving you eternity, or he's giving you heaven, that he's giving you as an act of kindness. And the Teva Levanan explaining the Rabbeinu Bachaya's reasoning, he says that's why Rabbeinu Bachaya believed Hashem doesn't mention heaven in the Torah itself.
If there's no linear equation, like, why are we here? Like, we can't guarantee to get to eternity.
We don't get to eternity by virtue of our rights.
No, absolutely.
We get there by virtue of God's benevolence and Hashem's kindness that makes the mitzvah meaningful. The Teva Levanan quotes a famous Psikta de Rav Kahana. In the Psikta de Rav Kahana, it says, they asked prophecy, what should happen to the person who sins? And he says, if he sins, he rebelled against Hashem, he doesn't deserve to live anymore. They asked Torah, and Torah said, let him bring an offering and obtain pardon. They asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let him do tshuva. In other words, Hashem says, I just want you to return to me. The kind of the thrust of the Psikta de Rav Kahana is that prophecy has a certain system or a logic. Torah has a system or a logic. There's a merits and demerits. There's a demerit, you bring an offering. From prophecy's perspective, if you violated the bond, that's it. You violated the bond. You're done. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective, he's just waiting for you to come home. It's actually not using any metrics per se. Hashem just wants you to come home. So how do we understand this? What is actually going on here? What does this mean when we talk about the eternity and we don't deserve heaven, but Hashem wants us to pray anyway? That's all he wants from us. Or all he wants from us to do tshuva. What's going on here? So let me share with you the words of the Rebbe de Tzemach Tzedek in the Maimer in Shir HaShirim. This is in the second volume of his commentary on Shir HaShirim. And it's on page Tavshim Memtes, which is 749, if you want the English page number. The Tzemach Tzedek speaks about a variety of sources, some of the sources that we've mentioned here this evening. And he says, he kind of sums it up like this. He says, I'll call upon him, at any rate, whichever which way you look at it, whether we talk about the reward in this world or reward of eternity, however you look at God's benevolence. Kima'aseihu, Hashem rewards us in accordance with our deeds. It doesn't say Hashem is benevolent, Hashem is kind, but it's kima'aseihu. So why does it say Va'ata chosed, Hashem is kind, tishalem li'ish k'maseyu, that he rewards a person in accordance with his deed? That's like a contradiction. It's not in accordance with his deed. If it's out of kindness, it's not in accordance with his deed. If it's accordance with his deed, then it's by merit of the law. So the Tzemach Tzedek says like this. What is ma'aseyu? Ma'aseyu doesn't mean the deed. The deed itself. He says, "Hainu lifi erech ha'itaruto dilatato." In accordance with your stirring, Hashem wants a person to stir. Hashem wants a person to shake it up. Hashem wants a person to reach out and transcend self. Hashem created us as these selfish little animals, these little bags of bones and meat that endlessly want and desire and crave all kinds of things in a selfish and snarling and egotistical and lethargic way. And he created us like this. And he put us in this reality where it looks like that's what life's about and that's what existence is about. And he wants us to be able to see past that. He wants us to be able to rouse ourselves from that slumber and to remember that there is a deeper purpose to life and existence. He wants an itaruta dilatata, is quoting Zoharic terminology now, an awakening from below. In plain English, if I may, as I understand it, Hashem wants a relationship with us. And the relationship begins when it's not about us. That's where the relationship begins. A person who's in a relationship with somebody else for themselves is not in a relationship with somebody else. They're in a relationship with themselves, utilizing somebody else for themselves. Here's a bad joke that illustrates this. So they tell a story of a blind date. I'm sure you heard this from me before. And after speaking about himself for over an hour, the guy realizes that this poor girl is falling asleep on him. He says, "You know, I just realized that I've spent the last hour talking only about myself. What do you think about me?" This is how most people live life. Me, 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 and me. And Hashem says, "I want you to forget about me for a second," meaning you, and think about me. What is the most valuable thing in a relationship? When a person shows that they care about somebody else more than they care about themselves. I was once speaking to a very wealthy and successful person. And he was having some difficulty there was a certain grandchild of his who was like kind of drifting away. And he was once on a very important business call. And a certain grandchild, but he has a number of grandchildren, called, and he interrupted the call. And this other grandchild said, "You interrupted that important business call, and you know it's all money, money, money." And this fellow said to the grandchild, "I would interrupt the call if you called also. So I love all my grandchildren." And he said it, and he said it looked like the kid like had like disbelief. This grandfather was like a big tycoon, and it so happened that he was once in the middle of a very important call with Royal Bank of Canada. And he called and he said, "I got to take this call. Excuse me, please give me, please bear with me." And he said, "I got Bank of Canada on the other line. There's a big thing going down, but you're calling. What's going on?" And he told me that everything changed after that happened. But it was like this grandchild suddenly felt that the grandchild was important, and that the grandparent valued him, and all of a sudden they became receptive to the messages. Everything changed. Everything changed at a moment where the child felt that the child was cared about, not because it looks good on the parents or on the grandparents, but because they mattered. It's like a little story, but it's a very telling story. We want to matter to other people. We want to know that we matter. People are touched when they know that they matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know that He matters to us. And that's called Itarutud Lotato. That's called awakening from below. If you can make a clear statement, demonstrate that God matters, not you matter, God matters, now something's going on. It is possible that a person should go through life being very religious and never thinking about God. Always thinking about my heaven, my payback, my remuneration, my reward, my eternity. So it's never about God. He's not a servant of Hashem at all. And when you're in a relationship, you don't look for a payback from the relationship. It's not utilitarian. When you're in a true relationship, the value or the most virtuous thing or most valuable thing is the relationship itself. To be in a true relationship with Hashem means that what I'm looking for is that connection to God. That is the payback, so to speak. Which is how Chassidus interprets the statement, Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. And the Tzemach Tzedek says this: when there is a itaruto dilatato, when we demonstrate that we actually care about God, and it's about God, then God responds in like fashion. Then there's a itaruto dila'ela, then there is a like response. And that response is the chesed shebemidam toiva, which is merubah mipranias. This is the God's benevolence. That's how we bring forth God's benevolence. So, va'ata chosed, Hashem is kind, tishalim le'ish k'maaseyu. If we reach out to Hashem, Hashem reaches out to us. And the most powerful way Hashem reaches out to us is in a benevolent way, in kindness. Because we know that kindness is much more powerful than restraint or than judgment. The kindness, the benevolence of Hashem is greater. And so, he says, "Kimasehu, means kefi maisa hatachtoinim behit arut ehen, in their awakening from below. If we can awaken from below and actually think about Hashem for real, not what's in it for me, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in like fashion. And this is the meaning of what it says in Zoharic language and in the countless places in the writings of the Arizal, that it is everything is al yedei itaruta dilatata, by an awakening from below, there becomes itaruta dila'ela, an awakening from on high. In other words, there's a reciprocity here. Here's what the proportion is. You want to know proportionality? If Hashem matters, then you matter. If you can transcend self, then Hashem proverbially transcends Hashem. It doesn't give you what you deserve, but gives you as God gives, in a manner of benevolence. And this is what we're talking about. There's a mimer from the previous Rebbe. It's like a Rosh Hashanah mimer. I think it's Rosh Hashanah. Beginning of the year, Tavshin Gimel. In the sixth chapter, the Friedrich Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, he deals with this business that before creation, Hashem consulted. Who were his consultants? If you're going to do a big endeavor, you need a consultant. Who did God consult? So our sages say, "B'mi nimlach?" And the answer is, he consulted nishmoteim shel tzaddikim. He consulted the souls of the righteous. What does that mean? God needed a consultant. Should he or shouldn't he? What does it mean? Says the Friedrich Rebbe, Hakavonahi, this is in Maimorim Tavshin Gimel, Sefer Maimorim, page 15. He says, Hakavonahi, Kisha'ola ba'atzmos in Seif, Masha'osid lis'anig b'nishmaseim shal tzadikim. What motivated, if you will, God to create the world? What was his motivation? Everything a person does has a motivation. What are we motivated by? The ultimate motivator is what we call tainuk, pleasure. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be in a state of bliss. So when Hashem, if you will, looked into the devotion of the righteous, b'ha'avoida de mesirat nefesh, with actions of absolute, total subservience and devotion, and their ma'asim tovim, which means not just the performance of the mitzvot, nosaf al ofen kiyum ha-mitzvot v'limada Torah, in addition to the manner in which they study Torah, the manner in which they fulfill the mitzvahs. So this, Hashem, so to speak, looked at the pleasure he would derive from those activities, and that was his motivation to create the world. And the Friedrich Rebbe goes on in this chapter of the Maimer. He says, one second. Hashem is getting oineg, Hashem is getting pleasure from the bittul of neshamot in their avodah of mesiras nefesh, because they're transcending self. When they transcend self. But he said, the Friedrich Rebbe says, one second here. Isn't Hashem constantly creating all of existence? Isn't everything inherently a part of God anyway? And he talks about this concept that in order for a person to be a king, you cannot be a king, it says, over your own children. You cannot be a king over your own employees. You can be a king over citizens. Ein melech b'loy am. And you have to be a king over citizens, that there is some commonality between the king or the queen and the citizens. You can't be a king over horses. You can be a king over dogs. You can be a master of dogs. You can have racehorses, but that doesn't make you a king. A king is when there's a citizenry, there's a nation. And he goes through the nuances of this idea. He says, so Hashem creates a reality where we feel separate from Hashem. In truth, never separate from Hashem, but we feel separate from Hashem, which makes us as if a zor, a stranger, like a citizen of God, in God's world. And when we, feeling independent and separate from God, are able to transcend that feeling of independence from Hashem and devote ourselves to Hashem, this gives Hashem pleasure. And by the way, that doesn't exactly make sense, because, I mean, none of this makes sense in the end. Why does God need any of that? God doesn't need anything. A God that needs things is not a God that's worthy of our worship. He's just a stronger entity. So there is an element here, ultimately, that's transcendent of our ability to grasp, our ability to have rhyme and reason. We don't necessarily understand or know why Hashem derives pleasure from what happens in this world. But Hashem says He does. And the Friedrich Rebbe reasons that because we live in a reality in which we feel entirely separated from God, if we could transcend that feeling of apartness and separation, if we could transcend the selfishness that defines who we are and instead be devoted to Hashem, then that brings forth the divine reciprocity. And that's the heavenly reality and reward that we're talking about. And that is not something that's earned or, proverbially speaking, deserved by the letter of the law. So the Torah doesn't talk about it, because the scripture is about law. Scripture is about our bond to God, God's bond to us. This is not about a bond thing. This is not about legality or a law or obligation. This goes into the deeper spirit of what Hashem ultimately wants from us, and that's found in Torah Shabbat Peh. That's in the oral tradition. And that, he says, is why you won't find it mentioned in the scripture itself. How does this lead us into a better understanding of Betochen? Okay, so for this, Emeretz Hashem, we have to continue learning. These are just the preambles to getting to a very, very important point of Betochen. What we have not talked at all about is the idea of punishment, the negative consequences engendered by virtue of our sinful behavior, or our rebellious behavior. And this, with Hashem's help, we'll talk about in the next episode. And that, my dear friends, is all for tonight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us that it shouldn't be hard to serve Hashem, because it's hard enough already. And the many challenges that we are facing should be the final challenges. We should have the devotion to Hashem, despite the fact that it's challenging and difficult these days. And as a result of our awakening, and there has been a mass awakening for all of Am Yisrael, as a result of our awakening and our remembering Hashem, we should merit, we should be zeuche, that Hashem will finally bring an end to Galut and bring us into the true bliss in eternity, the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira u'b'yameinu, speedily and in our days. Amen. Thank you all for joining online. Please like, please share, and keep on coming. And thank you all for joining here in person. Shkoyach. Thank you.